fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. And if you had a chance to tune into the program this week, I've been talking about grace, about God's gift and his mercy and his kindness toward us in Jesus. And at the heart of the Christian life is grace, is God's gift of his beloved son to us. And I've been taking some, really working on a short passage from St. Paul's letter to Titus. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there, as are Sister Anne's wonderful programs for Food for the Journey, our television shows, The Choices We Face, and Crossing the Goal, and a whole lot of really good material, free stuff, booklets, things I think that would really encourage and build you up and are actually tie nicely into the theme we've been talking about this week. You can get it there. You can look at it right on your computer and listen to it, download it, and put it on your iPad, iPod, whatever it is that you use to listen to, and you can listen to it at your leisure. Well, I ended yesterday in the middle of a section, chapter 3 of Paul's letter to Titus, because Paul had just described, you know, we began on Monday and toward the end, the beginning of Tuesday, where Paul describes part of Jesus's purpose as he's come to save us. What does it mean that he's come to save us? He put us to death in baptism. We said he's dealt with the sin problem that separates us from God in the waters of baptism. We die with Christ in baptism. We're literally like put to death spiritually and we're raised to new life in Christ. The sin problem that dominated us, the domination of original sin and its power over our lives are dealt with through the victorious power of Jesus Christ. And we're cleansed from sin by his blood, and we're given new life, and we become a new creation, Jesus said. Unless you're born again by water and the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. We're literally born again. We're born again, how? By the Spirit. Jesus brings us to new birth in the Spirit. What does that mean? John's gospel describes it this way. He gave us power to become children of God. And Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we see in Jesus what it means to be a child of God, that absolute unity, love, surrender, filial devotion to the Father, and absolute confidence and joy in the Father. All that belongs to Jesus, and now Jesus in superabundance in his glory in heaven at the right hand of the Father, we've been given a down payment of that in the Spirit. We've become children of God by the miraculous power of Jesus Christ, who's the head of this new people that Paul talks about here in Titus, that Jesus, what did he do? He redeemed us. He brought us out of our condition of slavery under a domination of sin and death that we can't do anything about on our own resources. We can't throw it off on our own power. He needs to break it with the power of his own dying on the cross, the shedding of his blood, cleanses us from the power of sin. And then he gives us the Holy Spirit to bring us to new life. And his desire is to purify a people. He said, quoting St. Peter, once we're no people, now we're God's people. We're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. Jesus wants to set us apart. And this is something we need to really think seriously about. We're called to live distinct in the world, but not of the world. The real challenge, I think, and for many of the baptized, is to ask ourselves honestly, am I both in the world and of the world? Am I worldly? As Paul said here, Jesus came to lead us from, to lead us to renounce worldly passions. Where are we? Have we made that renunciation? And without the power of the Holy Spirit, we can't become what Jesus is describing or Paul's telling us Jesus wants us to be, to cooperate with the work of the Spirit as Jesus wants to purify a people. He wants a holy people. He wants a people set apart. And that is zealous for good deeds. That is our passion now, isn't to advance myself, isn't to advance my own pleasure, my own recognition, to put my name in lights and all the rest of it. That's not what my life's about now. My life now is the zealous pursuit of the good deeds that Jesus Christ has made me for, right? To become everything he's meant me to be. He's going to reveal to me how I'm going to find fulfillment and happiness. That's where I'm going. And if every heart, if all the baptized, if our single passion, friends, is to please the Lord, and we set aside our desires, we run after him, and we pursue what he's calling us to do, then we become that holy people. Now, we can't do that on our own strength, but he gives us the Holy Spirit if we pay attention. We said yesterday, we read the section in chapter 3 where Paul, he said, we all once were foolish. We all had these worldly passions in us. We were all deeply affected by them. And we were living for ourselves. And he describes really so honestly and very bluntly his own heart and the heart of many of the brothers and sisters he's talking to. He says, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient. We were led astray. We were slaves to our passions and pleasures. He just comes right out and says it. Let's be honest. What was I motivated for in my life? My own passion, my own pleasure. And that's what our culture is built on. Me first, pleasing myself, bottom line. He said, we passed our days in malice and envy. We envied other people. We wanted what they had. We didn't want their best. We wanted to see them go down. We wanted to be raised up. We wanted to have what they possessed. He said, we were hated by men and we hated one another. Wow. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us from all of what he's talking about here. Not just the experience of this on earth, but this is the beginning of hell he's describing here. This is the road to hell. This is being subject to the power of sin and under the reign, literally the reign of Satan. Anybody who's living under the passions and saying yes and yielding to that, those kinds of desires, is a slave and is going to come under judgment ultimately. Jesus came to break in his mercy. He came to deal with that problem, to set us free, to live a new way of life, he said, and it's not by our own doing, but through the washing of regeneration and power in the Holy Spirit. He goes on, through Jesus Christ, our Savior, this has come to us so that we might be justified by his grace, that is made right with God. You know, Jesus gave to God what belongs to God. Jesus gave the Father the obedience and the surrender and the trust that he deserves. God is totally trustworthy, absolutely loves us, a love that can never be broken. God's love for us is constant. And so, by the mercy and power of Jesus Christ, we are brought out of that sin-sick condition and we're brought into a new relationship, sons and daughters of God, because God came and made his home in us. He didn't just wave a wand over our head. Jesus Christ took on human flesh so that he could unite God's life, eternal life, the Spirit to human flesh and recreate the human race. A race that was destined for eternal death and separation from God, to make us a new creation, founded in him, born in him. In Jesus Christ, friends, is the power of an indestructible life. He has the power to give life to whomever he chooses. And he desires to give his life to everyone. The church exists to bear witness to that, to what that life looks like. And he said, justified by his grace, and we become heirs in hope of eternal life. This saying is sure. Paul's saying, you can take this one to the bank. He's made us heirs. We're sons and daughters of God. Jesus, who's the rightful heir to the entire kingdom, gives us a share in what belongs to him. And so our hearts are now set in hope, the confident expectation of eternal life. Eternal life is not in our hands, friends. Eternal life is God's gift to us. And the promise, the foretaste has been given to us in the Holy Spirit. That's why, friends, it doesn't matter ultimately what happens to us here on earth. If all our great designs and desires and 5-year and 10-year plans and all that stuff goes to naught, I mean, let's hope it works, but if it doesn't, it doesn't. We have a treasure we've now found in the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of becoming a new creation, and everything we could possibly ever want or long for has already been given to us. Do you know who you are? Do you know who you are in Christ? The last thing the devil wants you to see, for me to see, is the astounding gift, the grace, the mercy that's been given to each one of us, and that you and me, we become partakers of God's nature. It's begun in us. It's real. It's been given to us by Christ. That's why you're valuable. That's why you have hope. That's why in this world, we love God, we love our neighbor, we engage the mission of the church, we try to use the gifts God's given us the best way we can and know how, and we make our best efforts. If everything doesn't work out, it doesn't matter. Everything that's not eternal, I think C.S. Lewis said this, everything that's not eternal is eternally useless anyway. Everything is going to pass away. Your bank account, your vacation home, the whole earth is going to pass away. God's making something new, and that newness has already begun in you. And the Spirit that's been given to us, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, beautiful description. He's trying to help us understand what we've been given. He says in chapter 2, verse 6 of 1 Corinthians, "Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away." The rulers of this age is Satan and all those who agree with him. All those who refuse God and God's plan are going to pass away. He said, "But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glorification." God decreed a great wisdom, would save us, would give us light, would give us understanding that wisdom is his son. He goes, "None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Paul said, the rulers of this age did the one thing they never should have done. They spilled the covenant blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses you and cleanses me of sin. It breaks the separation between God and man for those who are in Jesus Christ, those who are conformed to his cross in baptism, those who enter the waters of baptism and are purified by the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, "But as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the heart of man conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. God has revealed to us this to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what person knows a man's thoughts except the spirit of the man, which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God." You see why we're given the Holy Spirit? First, to be given a life, to be given a share in God's eternal life. Only by the Spirit will we pass from death to life. It's the Spirit of the Father and the Son. It's the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It's in you, friends. That's what makes this life so wonderful and so valuable. And it's the Spirit of God that searches, the very Spirit that searches the depths of God and the depths of the wisdom of God and God's nature, who he is. That Spirit's been put in you so it can search you, and the Spirit of God can touch your spirit at the depth of your being so that you can know, really know in the core of your being that you are God's child, that you're loved by God, that Jesus' death on the cross has made you and given you a participation in everything that belongs to him. Friend, you're bound for glory. That's really true. Jesus is the pearl of great price, and the Spirit reveals to us the dimensions of that glory so that we can come to life and share it with others. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.